Okay. Okay, we're on the roof recording dog sounds. These are special dogs, dogs of Vrindavan. They're descendants of the original dogs, Adi Dog, the Adikuta Avatar. Krishna is described in Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika as Srila Rupa Goswami Pad. And Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he had two dogs, believe it or not. I believe it. And they does anyone know the names of those two dogs? Who is that? Who said that? Jai Ho. She knows about the dogs.
I couldn't hear the names. What were they?
The names were Brahmaraka. Brahmar means bumblebee. Like a big fat type bee is called a Brahmar. The ones that go zzzz, really loud ones. They're dark blue, dark sham blue. And a big fat belly, and they're about half inch wide and inch long.
Big drone.
Drone type. Drone sound. Bomber. Blue bomber. And very beautiful, iridescent blue black. And they come in sometimes and they fly around just to remind you of Krishna and Brahmar Geet and how Radharani was speaking to the bumblebee. So this particular dog of Krishna is fat like a bumblebee. He's short and fat. And he hangs out at Jatipur and drinks all the milk. So he got too much short and too much fat.
High cholesterol.
He's a high class dog. He classed all the way up to Vaikuntha and beyond. His name is Brahmaraka. And then the other one's called Vyagra. Vyagra. Vyagra means tiger. So he's a little bit rough. The other one's kind of fat and lazy. But Vyagra's he's a little bit more feisty. He barks at night and runs around, chases his tail. Chases his tail like any good dog. He does assorted other tricks. So it's a fact that Krishna has two dogs. And Krishna incarnates in every species of life. In the Bhagavatam, there are only a few incarnations listed, 24 incarnations. And there's Shakti Vesha avatars and Prakash avatars. There's only a handful, hardly 20, 30 mentioned. But actually, Krishna incarnates in every single species of life. There's 8,400,000 species. And Bhagavad Purana is only a summary of the basic teachings, because especially Srimad Bhagavatam, it wants to build on a theme. And the theme is spoken in the Parivasa Sutra. Parivasa Sutra in the Srimad Bhagavatam is the most important verse. Srila Jiva Goswami Pad, he wrote an entire Sandarbha, one of the Sat Sandarbhas, called Krishna Sandarbha, is all an explanation of this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, third chapter, verse 28, I believe. Ete chamsa kala pumsham, Krishna's tu bhagavan swayam, indrari vakam, vyakulam mule, ridyanti yuge yuge. He says that Krishna, at first, this verse, first canto, chapter 3, verse 28, it comes after verse 27 and 26, obviously, and 25. And all those verses, those other 27 verses, Vyasadev is describing the other 20 avatars. Rishabhadev and Buddha and Ram, etc., etc. And some of those avatars are appearing as in Brahmin families, some are appearing in Kshatriya families, some in Vaishya, some in half-human, half-man, and a dwarf, and all different types of avatars. Then finally he concludes, after concluding that, he says, two, ete chamsakala, Krishna's two, Bhagavan Swayam. Two, the word two means but. I said all this, so this avatar and that avatar, but aside from all these avatars, two, there, Krishna, two, Krishna, but this Krishna, he is, Krishna's two, Bhagavan Swayam. He is Swayam Bhagavan. There's Bhagavan Ram, Bhagavan Narasringa, Bhagavan Vaman, so many Bhagavans. But there's only one, Swayam Bhagavan, and that's Krishna, Sri Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So then, Jiva Goswami writes the entire Sandarbha, Krishna Sandarbha, to explain this verse and all the different meanings of each word and cite so many Puranas. This is called Paribhasa Sutra. This verse is the theme and the basic point of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. What the Bhagavatam is conveying from first canto to 12th canto is the description of this verse. How is it that Krishna, not any other form of Godhead, is the supreme? So then the whole thing, this is the most important verse for every Vaishnava to know, because this is our Ishtadev, it's Krishna. And why we worship Krishna over Ram or any other avatar, and why he's supreme. Because they're all Vishnu Tattva, most of them. Some of them are Jiva Tattva, who are invested with a particular power, like Prithu and Rishabhadev and others. They're Shakti Vesh avatar. But most of the avatars, they're all Vishnu Tattva. So that means they're all one. They're all Bhagavan, they're all God, they're all Vishnu, they're all Vishnu Tattva. But they're one and different. And the difference is found in Krishna and Krishna alone. And the difference is one of Ras and Gun. The qualities of Krishna, he has 64 qualities. And the Rasa Krishna, he's Rasaraj. So many different Rasas he has. So this differentiates Krishna. That's why he's the Swayam. He's original. He's the complete. He's the full. He's the avatar of all the avatars. Sarva Avatari. He's the source of Sarva Avatari. He's everything. So the whole Bhagavatam explains this. So Bhagavatam begins by explaining the Aishwarya of Krishna, the Aishwarya Vibhuti, the Vibhuti, the opulence, the strength, the power, how he talks about creation, Srishti Tattva and Srishti, how Krishna created, how he has all these avatars, how he all the different kinds of avatars. So this is to establish in our mind that God is great. God is really great. Krishna is really great. And it describes the Purusha avatars. Purusha avatar are only three. Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshya Vishnu, and Shiradakshya Vishnu. But when you read in the second canto about that, just the Purusha avatars, or even in the first canto, you become totally amazed. And they're only Kala Amsha, they're only parts of parts of parts of Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. Krishna expands in the Balaram. Balaram expands in Chaturvyuha. Chaturvyuha expands in Sankarshan. Sankarshan expands in the Purusha avatars. Mm-hmm. And the first one is Mahavishnu. And just from the pores of his body, first he sweats and lies down in that sweat, and then from the pores of his body millions of universes come. Universes coming from the pores of his body. And then he enters into each universe as Garbhadakshya Vishnu. And he sweats and lies down in his sweat. And then from him, his navel comes a lotus flower. And then this Brahma is born there. And then he expands into each one of the creations of Brahma. He expands into a Shiradakshya Vishnu in every planet. So it's just to hear all the different descriptions of the Purusha avatars, the creation, it's fantastic. It's amazing. It's unbelievable. It's astounding. And this is one vibhuti sattvam, one spark of Krishna's splendor. So we understand all this Aishwarya, the grandeur, the opulence, the magnificence of Krishna through the different cantos. And finally, then we're prepared to understand that, oh, Krishna is a coward boy. And he holds on to the tail of a calf when he's 4 months old and go cool, and the calf gets scared. Oh! Someone's pulling my tail. And then he runs through the village and Krishna's so scared when he starts running, he doesn't know what to do, so he keeps holding on. Because when you're scared, you want to take shelter of something solid. When you're scared, you want to hold on to something. Hold on to your mother's breast, squeeze your mother's breast, or hold her hand, or touch her or something, because you're only little, so you can't get your arms around your mother. So you just grab some part of her. You hold the corner of her dress, you hold her leg, because you only come up as high as her knee. So you can't really wrap her in a tight embrace or give her a bear hug, because you're only a foot tall. And so you either hold on to her leg, or you hold on to her, or if you're sitting in her lap and you get scared, you grasp her breast. You have to hold something. Children always hold something. They first grab, and then they bite, and then they put it in their mouth. So Krishna's in that age. He's in the grabbing age and the biting age. So the calf starts running, and Krishna goes, oh, I'm scared. And he just holds tighter on the tail of the calf, and the calf gets more scared. And because Krishna pulls, oh, he's running, and he pulls hard, oh, help, help. And the calf, oh, and the calf starts getting more pain and starts running faster. And Krishna gets more scared, so he pulls tighter, and the calf goes more. So Krishna is just flying. He's practically flying off the ground on the back of this calf, and just skimboarding. He's like surfing through the cow dung. He's skimboarding. He sees, what do you call it? Bodyboarding, what do they call it?
Body surf.
No, there's that board, belly boarding, what do they call it?
Oh, yeah.
On that board, when you have a little board and
skateboarding.
Not skateboarding, it's on the water. Belly boarding, or what is it called? Surfing is you stand up, but there's another little belt thing you lie on, a little board, and you ride the waves.
Boogie board.
Boogie board, yeah. So Krishna's like boogie boarding through the cow dung and cow urine and mud of the lanes of Braj, the village of Braj. And all the gopis hear this kid go, ah! And the calf's going, oh, oh! No, the calf's going, hom, 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 hom. And the calf is calling for his mother, hom, 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 hom. Humba, humba. And then all the mothers come out of their houses, they come out and they look, oh, what's going on? Oh, ho, ho, ho. And they can't help but laugh. Now all these ladies are laughing at God. This is God. They're laughing at him and just having good sport. And he's crying and mommy, mommy, and just he's totally covered with cow dung and his hair is flying over his shoulders like crow feathers. Scattered over his shoulders like crow feathers, and he's flying through the village like the first Indian Airlines. Gokul Airlines. And so so before we can swallow all that and believe all that and accept all that, we have to build on that conception of the Aishwarya conception, the Krishna conception, who has two sides, Aishwarya and Madhurya. So before we can relish and drink the sweetness, we have to drink the bitterness. We have to build a strong foundation of Sambandha Gyan, Ishvara Tattva, Shusti Tattva, Aishwarya Gyan, Aishwarya Mahi Gyan, and then Madhurya Mahi Gyan. Knowledge of Krishna's grandeur, power, creation, and then knowledge of Krishna's sweetness. How is he sweet, and how does this prema work, and how does this ras work, and how are the exchanges, what is the basis? So this is the Bhagavat philosophy. So this study and this understanding is very, very important to actually unfold the sweetness of our own heart. Otherwise we'll have a tendency to minimize Krishna and relegate him to humanhood and only humanhood, that he is just a human. And even in the context of his sweet pastimes, he intersperses them and laces them with a good dose of Aishwarya throughout his Leela, even in Gokul Leela, Chatikar Leela, Nandagram Leela. Everywhere he's doing something extraordinary, something extra human, Superman, superhuman. When he's 3 years old, or 6 days old, he takes a ride with a 12-mile witch. He hops on a 12-mile witch and flies through the sky. Right? Sucking her breast and flying through the sky in 12-mile flight pattern. Can you imagine? 12 miles. Do you know how high that is? How high do you fly in your Indian Airlines? 35,000 feet, right? Mm-hmm. You ever fly? Anybody ever here flew in a plane?
Yes, sir.
How high do you fly?
About 35, 40.
Not 40. 30, 35. 40 is the Air Force. They're not allowed to fly there. 40 to 60 is reserved. Each space is reserved. Mm-hmm. Above 40 is for the Air Force. The bombers. 40 to 70,000, and the Piper Cubs fly at 5 to 15. Everyone has their space, their lanes. So a maximum 35. I never heard 40. 27 to 35,000 feet. So 5,000 feet in a mile. So that's 7 miles, right? Everyone agree? So when you fly in a plane, you're 7 miles above the ground. And Krishna is flying in Putin Airlines. This is the first airlines in India. Seems like most of the airlines are following her sampradaya, because they kind of give the same service that Putin gave. So Putin Airlines is the origin of Indian Airlines and Kingfisher and the rest of them. They're all demoniac, asuric airlines.
They serve out poison box lunches.
Poison box lunches, yeah, they serve out dead babies. And like Putin used to suck baby flesh. Kill babies and suck their blood. So now they serve flesh on the airplane, so there's Putin Airlines. They ask you, sir, would you like veg or non-veg? So that means Putin Airlines. Putin means non-veg, right? Putin wasn't a vegetarian. You eat baby flesh, you're not a vegetarian. So I'm quite correct in I'm saying that she's the origin of Indian Airlines. Putina. So Krishna, now Krishna was flying like the Air Force. He's flying 12 miles high. 12 miles times 5,000. He was flying 70,000 feet. That's where the F-14 flies. 70,000 feet, the Blue Angels. They fly up there. You can't see those guys. Because you can't see that. For when you look out, oh, there's a plane. And you see some pop, 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 pop. Some stinky jet plane going 500 miles an hour. But these guys up there, they're 70,000 feet and they're going Mach 2, Mach 1. They're going 2,500 miles an hour, 2,500, 3,000 miles an hour. So Krishna's up there with the B-52 bombers. B-52 Putin airline. 12 miles above the ground. Can you imagine? So this is some Aishwarya. A baby flying 12 miles in the sky. Can you imagine? If your baby flies a foot off the ground, you call the police. You call the hospital. If your baby falls off the dining table, you call the hospital. He falls a foot off the foot from the dining table onto the ground. Falls off his what do they call that chair he sits on, baby chair?
High chair.
He falls off his high chair and cracks his noggin on the floor. Then you call the hospital. And Krishna's flying 70,000 feet above the ground. 75,000 feet up there. Twice where you're in your airlines. Next time you fly, look out the window. When you come over the bridge, maybe you'll see Krishna flying on Putana. Because his pastimes are always going on.
Trinavarta is a high flyer.
On Trinavarta, I don't know where he went with him. He went a few thousand feet with him. He was kind of like doing like parachute flying, or whatever they call it. Yeah. What do they call it? You drop off in a parachute?
Yeah, yeah.
Parachuting. Because he didn't expect to fly it so early in the age. Usually you don't fly when you're so young. The mother keeps you in the house. You hardly come out of the house when you're 6 days old. Putin came. Because he actually wasn't out of the house. There's a whole ceremony called coming out of the house. You know about that?
No.
It's in the Bhagavatam. There's a whole ceremony, it's called Utan. Utan's when you're in the cradle lying on your back. When you roll over, it's called Utan. Utan Ekadasi. Utan means to get up. You're kicking your legs up. You're lying under the Shakat. That was at like 1 month. 1 month old, he killed the Shakat demon. So I think it's at 3 months, then it's called you roll over and start crawling around. It's called Utan. Maybe it was on Utan Ekadasi, I'm not sure, because Krishna was. Utan Ekadasi, yeah, it was about that time. Because let's think about it now. Yeah. If you're still alive and still awake and still can think. Krishna was born in August, right? So August is September 1 month, September, October 2 months, October, November 3 months. When is Utan Ekadasi?
November.
At the end of Chaturmasya, right?
Yeah.
So it's called Utan Ekadasi. Because that's when Krishna, Utan. Utan means get up. Yeah. In Hindi, Utan means rise, get up. So he got off his backside and went to work. Right? Because when you're on your backside, you can't work. When you're sleeping in your bed, you're on your backside. Right? Then you get off your backside and go to work. So when Krishna got off his backside, then he could start his gocharan. So that was Utan. So at 3 months old, he was lying under the Shakat demon. Or no, that was 1 month. But Utan Ekadasi, that's when he had that ceremony. It's called Utan, where it's called the coming out ceremony. When the child comes outside the house, formally, because then he can crawl around. During that ceremony of Shakat demon, Krishna was only, I believe, 1 month old. And it was 1 month old, I guess.
Still on his back.
He was still on his back, and he kicked up his legs and knocked off the cart. He just moved his legs, he didn't even kick, actually. He just moved. So in so many ways, Krishna showed his Aishwarya. Krishna is so sweet in Gokul. There's so many sweet things. He's carrying different articles. He's carrying progressively heavier articles. Nanda Baba's shoes on his head, and then a wooden mixing bowl, and then some big wooden plank, and then he's dancing for a half a sweet meat, and then he's grabbing the tail of the calf, and he's urinating on the floor, and And he's asking his mother, he wants to see the moon, because they didn't have diapers in those days. They didn't have those invented, so Krishna simply wore a black string around his waist and let everything fly. The black string was just the release button. He wore a black string around his waist and a tiger nails around his neck. In case any tigers came, they could recognize him. Oh, he's one of us, don't eat him. So if any tigers came to have a pakora, a blue pakora, because a tiger comes and they say, oh, a blue pakora, I never saw. And he says to his friend, hey, look, there's a blue pakora. Looks like a nice pakora. And then they come closer and they say, oh, look, he's one of us. He's got tiger nails on his neck. You ever saw? You never saw pictures of Krishna? You go like this, right? Yeah. You never saw? He has under a mountain in gold and on the necklace, there's two tiger nails. You never saw?
Yes.
Paintings of Krishna, there's tiger nails. You know nails? Naka. Yeah. Vyagra Naka. Tiger nails. So when a tiger comes and they say, oh, he's one of us, and they run away. Because they also give off a fragrance. The nails give off a fragrance. It's called a talisman. But it actually has value. It's scientific value. So if a tiger smells a tiger, he gets scared. If he smells a man, he gets happy. Oh, Varsha, nice pakora. 50 kilo pakora. Very juicy, very soft, very fatty. Nice fat. Like pakora has lots of fat, no? So then the tiger will come. Tom. So when they come to eat the little baby, they go, they always smell. Oh, hey Joe, you smell something? Yeah, it smells like a tiger. But it's a little tiger. Yeah, where's his stripes? Well, I don't know about stripes, but some kind of new breed, I think. too many drugs or something. It came out funny. Well, but he's blue. He's supposed to be kind of yellow like us. Yeah, he's a blue tiger, but nevertheless, he smells like... What do you smell? I smell like a tiger to me. So then they run the other way. That's why they wear tiger nails. Did you know that? So the Krishna was so sweet and so lovable and so cuddable. But at the same time, he showed so much... So that's Madhurya, sweetness. Juicy, sweet, tasty, relishable, charming, beautiful. But at the same time, he's powerful. Very, very powerful. This witch was 12 miles high and Krishna was riding with her through the sky because she was a Kechari. Kechari means a witch that flies on a broomstick. We say broomstick in Halloween cartoons and stuff. But broom is actually a type of herb. It's called broom. We say broom, you say jaru. But the traditional Indian witch, she flies on a tree. She finds a tree that a ghost inhabits. There's a ghost living in a tree. Sometimes in a tree of the body also. The body's like a tree. So they live in a tree. The ghosts will inhabit a dead tree usually. If there's a dead tree. No, it can be a living tree. The ghost's living there. Then if lightning strikes and that tree gets toppled over, then the roots come out of the ground. And the ghost takes shelter in the roots of that tree. Then these witches, they know a mantra. They break off these roots of this tree, a particular tree where the ghost is, and they chant mantras that take control of that ghost. The ghost is living in the root of the tree, and then the witch chants mantras, and she possesses the ghost, and she sits on that branch and she says, "Okay, fly." And because ghosts move through the air, they can fly. They carry the witch on the branch. So this is actually the origin of the so-called of the Halloween cartoons when we're little kids. I don't know about India, but they have these little ladies, ugly ladies and stuff, and they wear black and they fly on a broomstick. You ever saw?
Yes, ma'am.
When you were a kid, Giridhari?
Mm-hmm.
Paintings, there's some long stick and some little broom on the back, like you sweep the floor, like jaru. And she's sitting here. So this is kind of a fancy Americanized form of the idea. That they have kind of a streamlined Mercedes-Benz type broomstick. But actually it was just some kacha root from a tree. Very kind of misshapen. It wasn't pukka straight. It was just like a root of a tree. It's crooked. It's bent. And they just take the thing and they just put it under their butt and say, okay. And they tell that ghost, because the ghost is living inside the root of the tree. And they say, I want to fly at 20 feet up, 50 feet up. And the ghost Because the ghosts are very powerful, those ghosts who live in the tree. So then they go through the sky. So Putana was this kind of ghost. She's a Kechari. A Kechari is, Putana is a category. It wasn't, it was a particular living entity, a person. Anybody can be Putana. Matter of fact, there may be some right here. There may be some Putanas. You have to be careful. Their modern name is Vampirus. Vampirus. So the Putana is a category and of a Kechari. And they special Kecharis are, they fly through the K. K means sky. K means calm or sky. So that's called Kechari. Kechari, Charachara means to move. Chara means to move, Charachara. So they move through the K. They move through the sky, Kechari. So Putana is a particular, Kechari is a whole class of beings that move through the sky. Witches, we say witches or tantrics. So Putana is a particular category of Kechari. Does everyone know all these things?
No, I don't know.
Oh. I know a lot of weird things.
Yeah, weird. Connections.
I have my connections. And it's night, so this is the Rakshasa Muhurta, so we should talk about Rakshasa things. Yeah. 2 o'clock, from 2 o'clock till 3:45 is Rakshasa Muhurta. Right? So we should give equal time to Rakshasas and Hobgoblins.
What is Krishna's function in incarnating in all different species? You know, for the humans, he comes for a specific function.
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, they say, that said, the Acharyas, that he comes in every species for a similar function, actually to attract those species to that form. Like when he comes as a fish, he's like the biggest, baddest, most beautiful fish anybody ever saw. Mm. So it's all based on, because advancement in consciousness is based on attraction. Mm. Any movement's based on attraction. No attraction, no movement. That begins with the atoms. It begins from the atomic level to the stellar level. These huge bodies of stars and planets, which some of the stars we're seeing, the light from, we're seeing light. We see light from that star. We say, oh, there's a star. Now the light that we're seeing from a supposed star, that star burned out 450 billion years ago. And the light from that star, which doesn't exist anymore, it blew up, it died, it blew up, it just blew up. The light from that star has been passing through space at the speed of light for 450 billion years. It's that far away from us. And we're seeing, oh, see that star? What we're seeing, it doesn't even exist. We're seeing light, but the origin of that light, the star which that light emanated from, already blew up and disappeared 400 billion years ago. But this is something about the vastness of the universe. So everything is from the stars and planets, from the atom, and all movements based on attraction. So we, in order to move towards Godhead, we have to be attracted. So we, from every species, they have to start turning their face towards Godhead. So it begins by attraction. They have to be attracted to Godhead. So a fish don't have any conception of attraction except attraction to another fish. So then Krishna comes to the fish to create attraction towards him. Comes as a fly. Every single species of life, there's 8,400,000 species. You know, why does he come as a microbe or anything to it? This is the inconceivability of Godhead. The Bhagavatam gives a smattering. It gives a little bit of a half lion, half man, a fish. It shows, it gives you the idea. Gives the idea. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains it about in terms of evolution of body. Invertebrate to vertebrae from fish. Because first he's a fish, that's like invertebrate. And then he goes from a fish to a turtle, that's a semi-vertebrae. Then from a turtle to a pig. Pig is like vertebrae. And then from a pig, pig is still animal speech. And then from a pig, that fourth avatar is not animal, not human. So that's like vertebrae, but it's half animal, half human. So it's like the evolution of bodies to the human form. It's lion man. Then the fifth avatar is a dwarf, Vaman, I think. And it goes like this. And finally it comes to savage, Parasaram. He's like Brahman, but he's considered like kind of like savage. Then it comes to civilized person, Ram. And Ram is considered civilized and human being. And then it comes to a Kshatriya. Then it comes to a Brahman. And then the next after Ram is, I can't remember after Ram is, Balaram is also civilized, and then it goes through different varnas and different ashrams, and Buddha is like a Brahmin, and then it goes intellectual development, and Bhakti Sant has this whole article about evolution in terms of the Das avatars and the evolution of the, like almost like Darwin's, but it's evolution of body, not a more evolution of bodies, and he shows it in terms of the avatars, but they're all human and they all have consciousness, and they're not, it's not like, and they're not evolving out of necessity of environment. If you develop wings because you want to fly, or you know, he had Darwin's concepts. So this Krishna, this is on staggers the imagination. This is what the Lago Bhagavatamrita everywhere is telling. Krishna appears in every single species, and Bhagavatam just gives a few, 10. And we think so limitedly. Oh, Krishna only 10 avatars. Krishna, Prabhupada says, if you pay attention to Prabhupada's teaching, he said, there are as many avatars as there are waves on the ocean. If you can count the waves in the ocean, you can count how many avatars or descents of Krishna there are. So how many is that? Because first of all, he says there are as many universes as there are, seeds, mustard seeds in a 100-kilo bag of mustard seeds. That's universes. And every universe is, there's unlimited billions of planets. And Krishna's appearing in every planet. Krishna's not only appearing on earth planets, he's also appearing in heavenly planets, he's also appearing in hellish planets. So like, wow, break your brain now. Every universe, millions, billions of planets, in every planet Krishna's appearing. It's all going on eternally. And every species of life, Krishna's appearing. So talk about compassion. Isn't it amazing? So if we become a fly, Krishna becomes a fly. If we become a cockroach, Krishna becomes a cockroach. If you become a pig, Krishna becomes a pig. And what is Vrah? Vrah is a pig. And if he can become a pig, oh, Krishna can become a pig, but he can't become a cockroach. Acha? Why? Pig's better than a cockroach? Krishna can become, he become a fish, but he can't become a crocodile. Why you put, how you can put your limitations on it? It's absurd. If he can be any, if he can be a fish, and a half man, half lion, then he can be anything and everything, and anywhere and everywhere, and that's what he does. It's all based on love, because love's based on attraction, and attraction means movement. So if you want to move to Krishna, you have to love him. If you want to love him, you have to be attracted to him, right?
No, other species also go back to border when they're attracted to the fish, goddess fish or goddess cockroach.
Yeah, whenever those avatars come, then they liberate all the beings. So if they're attracted to Matsya, they go to Matsya Loka. They're attracted to Kurma, they go to Kurma Loka. They get suitable forms as their Ishtadev. From Bhav comes Sarup. First the Bhav. Attraction means feelings in Bhav. Yam yam bhapi smaran bhavam. You have to fix the Bhav before he can fix the form. First you have Bhav for woman. You have attraction for a woman. You fix the Bhav in the feelings in your heart. Then you get become a woman in your next life. You have a Bhav for man. You're attached to man. You're attracted to man. So you fix the Bhav, you have feelings and love and attachment, it's all Bhav. And the Bhav becomes very deep, and very, by marriage and by sex union, the Bhav becomes very deep. So then you can't help but become a man in your next life, or a male dog or whatever, depending on what you do. If you do sin, then you become male dog or pig or whatever. But male, definitely. It's all Bhav, it's based on Bhav. That's why we emphasize Gopi Bhav or Sakhi Bhav. First you have to fix the Bhav by following the Bhav of the Parishads of Vrindavan. No Bhav, no body. So then it comes to the fish, and all the fish fix their Bhav on the big fish. A fish is just a fish. and then they go to Fish Loka. And that's pretty good, but we have a little more fortune that we came in this Kali Yuga. Yadihi Gaur Hayito. Narahari Chakravarti sings a song. No, it's maybe Vasudev Ghosh, I think. Vasudev Ghosh, he says, where would we have been? Yadihi Gaur Nahito. He says, where would we have been if Gauranga had not appeared in this Kali Yuga? Maybe we'd have to wait for Matsya Avatar. or maybe the pig avatar, we become pigs. They become pig bhaktas. Sura bhaktas. Varaha bhaktas. So he has such great fortune. I mean, this is the whole idea we study Bhagavatam, to understand it. So then when we see that, understand how everything is coming from Krishna, everything's expanded from Krishna, and then Krishna dances with the gopis, then the acharyas say it's like a boy dancing with a shadow. He's not stealing anybody's wives, it's not immoral, it's not illegitimate. And parakiya is above, parakiya is above, parakiya above, it's a feeling, it's a mood. And if there's a body for that, or some kind of body to represent that bhav, then Krishna can feel that or experience that bhav through the body, transcendental body, who are nothing but his expansions. The gopis are nothing but him. Everything is nothing but Krishna. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagadyaptimurtina. Everything is within me and I am within everything. Ham sarvasya prabhava. Everything expands from me, everything comes from me. Is it right? So this is Gita and Bhagavatam. So we have to prepare ourselves for flight. Flying in the land of bhav. First knowledge, then desire, then action, then bhav, then form. No knowledge, no desire. You can't desire something you don't know about. Is it right? So can you desire something you don't know about? Yes or no?
No.
That's pretty clear. You can only desire something you know about. So that's why the first thing is sambandha gyan, knowledge. Knowledge of sambandha. What is sambandha? Sambandha means relationship. Who's who? Who am I? Who's he? Who am I? What is our relationship? Who's Krishna? Who am I? What is this world? Who are you? Hey, who are you? Bolo? Jivera Surupaya Krishnana Nitya Das. Dasyana Dasyana Dasi. The servant, the maidservants of Krishna. So this is the point. First, that's why there's so much emphasis on knowledge. Every single avatar comes, he comes to teach. As I mentioned earlier, they're all teachers. So Krishna goes to so much trouble to teach and write so many teachings and record so many teachings, and he becomes a scribe. Krishna becomes a scribe because he understood everyone's going to be a knucklehead. Everyone's going to be a knucklehead in Kali Yuga. Goofball. Goofball, knucklehead, manda samanda matayo. It's another way of saying it. Manda sumanda. Manda sumanda means slow. Manda means slow. And sumanda means slow. No, wait a minute. Very slow. He's writing, Vyasadeva is writing, manda. Wait a minute. Manda? Kali Yuga manda? Manda sumanda. Matiyo. They're mati. Their consideration, their intelligence, their thinking power, they're mati. They're slow, very, very slow. So they have to have a very, very fast computer. Because they're very, very slow thinking. Very, very slow figuring out. 1 and 2 and 3. Oh, how much is that? Let me get my computer. 1 and 2. 1 and 2 and 3. 3 and 2 is 5. 6. Oh, 6. Oh, yeah, I knew it all along. 6. They can't even add 5 numbers together. Your grandfather, Mr. Agarwal, he could sell 100 saris and 50 dhotis and tell you what they cost in 1 second. And then your father, he could tell in 10 seconds. Now you can tell in 1 minute with your computer. Okay, this sari, 25 rupees, 25, 45, and then it takes 1 minute on your computer software. I mean, 10 minutes. Because you have to enter all the things, then you have to press a button. And your great-grandfather says, okay, 14, 16, 17, 100, 150, 100, 1,000 to 500 rupees. He would tell you in 1 second. He had the Agarwal computer. Agarwal software. Agarwal software was pukka. But now this great-grandson, he can't add 10 saris and 5 dhotis. He has to go to his computer and calculate it. It's a fact. Haven't you seen it?
Yeah.
Yes.
You go in the shop. I was in Puri once. I went in the shop, and I've been going there for 20 years. And now the guy was there, and I would buy all these items, and he would say, 172 rupees. And I would also add in my head, because I have half a brain also. I'm not an Agarwal. I don't have like a pukka brain like Agarwal. But I would be a little slower, but I would add up and I'd say, yeah, 172. Now his son was taking over his business. He was about 15. And so I go there and his father is there. And he has a little notepad. Okay, this milk powder, 70 rupees. Okay, this papaya, 2 kilos, 27. I said, okay, but I said it's 71 rupees. At least I'm still in the old style, Agarwal style. I said, 71 rupees. And he said, no, wait a minute, I have to add it up. And he adds up 81. It takes him 10 minutes and 5 corrections. I looked at his father, I said, what's with him? He said, Maharaj, he's my son, but you know, it's a different generation. I said, golly, what happened? You were so good. This guy's a jerk. You know? But I'm the same, and the father's the same, but the kid's a jerk. So, this is Manda Sumanda Matayo. So Krishna knew all that. So he came as a scribe, and he sat down and said, these jerks are not going to know all the Vedas. Nobody's a Shrutidhara. They don't even know what it is. They can't even say what it, they can't even pronounce what, they can't even pronounce Shrutidhara. They can't even say Shruti, he's a Shrutidhara. Or what's a Shrutidhara? They can't even say a Shurashu? A Shushadu? A Shushadura? A Shishadira? Anyway, whatever it is, that we don't have any. So then I have to come as a scribe and write down all the Shrutis, all the Smritis. I have to write everything down, and then everybody calls me Vyasadeva. So Krishna is so kind that he wrote everything down, and we're so bullheaded and so impudent that we think we're too smart to study. That we don't have time to study. We're too busy counting numbers on our computers. So this is the mercy of Krishna, that he's given us all these wonderful literatures to study so we can learn. And then when we get knowledge, then desire will come. Yes, I want this. I want to be like this. I want to have this, the bhav. I want to have the feelings that the Vrishvasis have. I want to serve Krishna with this mood of love, with this mood of dedication, with this mood of surrender, with this mood of absolute... absorption. So then desire, then when desire comes in, when a desire builds, then energy comes behind it. As desire builds, energy falls behind the desire. Then you start to move. Because along with desire, as you get more knowledge, then you get more attraction. When you get more attraction, you get more desire. When you get more desire, then your movement increases. I want this. I want this. It sounds good. I want this. Oh, I really want this. I must have this. I need that. I have to have this. Ah. It's like a drug addict. The dealers, they always give a little bit free. The heroin dealer says, hey, come on, you want to try? Hey, try this. It's really good, man. Be high, get high, get happy. Oh, do I have to pay? No, it's free. Come on, have a good time. You know. So you take it. And, oh, that's really good. Can I have some more? Yeah, some more. Okay, take some more. Yeah, some more. Yeah, some more. Can I have some more? Yeah, $100. $100? But it was just a little tiny thing, like a half a little spoon. $100, man, you want it? Otherwise, get lost. So there's no such thing as a dope pusher having a heart. They're heartless. It's only money. So this is like Maya. Maya says, here, take a little bit. Maya, take a little, it's free. Oh, it's free. Oh, it looks so good. So tasty, so charming, and so sweet, and cuddy and cuddable, whatever, you know, lovable.
Cuddly.
And then you say, oh, that's good. Can I have some more? Yeah, take some more. Yeah, can I have some more? Yeah. Can I have some more? Yeah, $100. And then you're addicted. And Maya's got you in her clutches. And then she keeps collecting payments and keeps coming for more and more tax till you're totally bound and you have to sell out. You have to sell your soul to the company store. You're a goner. You're lost. And then she smiles. Ha, ha, ha. Now I've got you right where I want you. And you're never getting out. Ha, 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 ha. Help, help. No one can hear you. It's too late. Don't even bother crying. So this is how she catches. So anyone has any questions? Oh, it's almost time for japa. 3:42.
I wanted to ask if we're inherently you know, as an individual soul, we have some inherent relationship with Krishna, then, you know, as the, you know, the cleansing process uncovers a particular identity, and feelings, you know, I think
that,
yeah, that's your particular mood. But then it seems like, on the other hand, like as part of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we're, you know, shooting
directed
in one other thing. So is it actually like that, or is it more, say, liberal, where like
it's grafted on
any resident of Vrindavan, you know, because there's so many different residents and flavors and stuff. How do you know? What's the scoop on that?
Well, the way our acharyas explain is that Mahaprabhu, he came. He says, Charibhava Braje, says that he came to broadcast in general the four bhavs, Charibhava. Chari means four in Bengali. The four bhavs of Braja, Braja Bhav. Dasya Bhav, Sakhi Bhav, or Sakhi, Dasya Rati, Sakhi Rati, Vatsalya Rati, and Madhura Rati. Madhura Rati means conjugal love, Gopi, in the mood of the Gopis, of Braj. And Sakya Rati means the brotherly love in the mood of Sri Dham Subal. And this Vatsalya Rati means the mood of parental love, like Nanda Baba and Yashoda. And Dasya Rati means the mood of Seva Bhav, or servants like Raktak and Patrak, who are house servants in Nandagaram. So these are the four bhavas of Braj. And there are particular exemplars of those bhavas, Raktak and Patrak and Dasya Bhav. Sridham and Subal are the exemplars of Sakya Bhav, Nanda Bhav and Yashoda are exemplars of Vatsalya Rati, and Madhura Rati is Radharani, Chandravali, Lita Vishaka, like this. So this is a general preaching of the Mahaprabhu, is attract people to the sweetness of Braj. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, these four bhavas are explained and proclaimed and advertised, you could say, presented for the edification or the attraction of the reader. And some different acharyas and parishads of the Lord, they have emphasized one over the other. And even Krishnas Kaviraj and others, because many gopis and mandris have also come to assist Mahaprabhu's preaching, and they are taking his manobishtam, Sri Chaitanya manobishtam, that his actual heart's desire is to give what he's never given before, and that's Swabhakti Shriyam, Anarpita Shriyam Chirat, Swabhakti Shriyam. Swabhakti Shriyam means, Swabhakti means his own bhakti, and Shriyam means the beauty and splendor of that. Swabhakti Shriyam. So that Bhakti Shriyam, his own bhakti means the bhakti of Radharani, because he, Lord Chaitanya, is in the mood of Radharani. The color of Radharani, the Radha duty and Radha bhav, the effulgence and color of Radharani, and the bhav of Radharani. And so Krishna's come as Mahaprabhu to taste all of Radharani's bhav. And to, so bhakti, he's come to give what he's never given before. And specifically what he wants to give is, this is the special heart's desire, mano bishtam. Bishtam means desire, abhilash, desire of his man or his heart, is to give the bhakti of Radha. So bhakti shriya means my own bhakti, means devotion to me. He wants people to become he or she. You can say Krishna in the form of Mahaprabhu wants people to become devoted to Radharani, Radha Dasyam, become servants of Radha Dasyam. So all of our Sadhu Swamis and all of our Nityananda Parivar, not Nityananda, most of Nityananda Parivar, and Gadadhar Parivar and Vaita Parivar, and our Chaitanya Saraswat Sampradaya, which is Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisanta Saraswati in our immediate parampara, Prabhupada, they are presenting this mood of Radha Dasyam, the service of Radharani, Braja Bhakti, and the service of Radharani in Madhurya Bhav. So that type of, that speciality comes down to be, it's called Bhavalas Rati, a particular type of Rati, Bhavalas Rati, which is predominated by the Sakhi, one type of Sakhi or Gopi called a Manjari. So this is what they're generally presenting. This is the inner, this is the Manubhishtam, the hidden secret inner thing, but also, in a general way, because Chaitanya Charitamrita says Chari Bhakti, this Chari Braja Bhakti, there's four types of Vratis he's broadcasting, and they're kind of briefly outlined. But if you look at the totality of literature that by the Acharyas were directly empowered by Lord Chaitanya to spread his mission and to write further on it, most of the emphasized Rupa Goswami and Sanatana are the main ones.
Yeah.
And Jiva, they're all emphasizing Gopi Bhav and Manjari Bhav in all their writings, without exception. So therefore, this seems to be the primary product that's offered in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Is service of Radharani in Braj, in the mood of a Manjari maidservant. And this is most pleasing thing, to, most pleasing, Krishna consciousness means this, to please Krishna, he's most pleased when he pleases devotee. In fact, they even go to far, so far to say that Krishna had a debt, napariyeham. Radharani, I cannot repay you because you and your Manjaris and Sakhis are pleasing me so much in the Rasa dance, I can never repay you. You'll just have to be happy by the happiness you get from serving me. But still, when you have a debt, you can tell to someone, oh, I can never repay you, but you still have a debt. Like, I borrowed money from you, and I haven't repaid you, and I'm sorry I can't repay you. So the person says, okay, you don't have to repay me. But it doesn't change the fact that I have a debt. And you may say, okay, you don't have a debt, but I know that I borrowed money from you. I know that I borrowed money from you, and I know I never paid you back. Although you might say, shine it on, forget about it. So you maybe forget about it, but I can't. So that's Krishna's position. He's an eternal debtor. He's an eternal debtor to Radharani and the gopis. Because they've given him so much. They've given him 10 crores of love and 10 crores of save, and he's only given him 1 crore back. So he's a debtor. So now he thinks, he's actually worried, how can I repay my debt? If I come and collect a lot of servants to Radharani, because she's serving me with so many servants, Sakhi's a maidservant, I am one and she's many. Radharani is Kayavyuha, she's expanded to so many gopis and so many manjaris, and she's serving me with many hands. And many mouths, and many forms. And I'm only returning one. I'm only one. So if I collect many, many manjaris and Sakhi manjaris, and I enlist all of them by my preaching as Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Radharani, I collect all of them, attract all of them, then I say, Radharani, I'm offering all these manjaris and Sakhis in your service, in Radhadasyam, to try to balance the scales. This is my service to Radharani. So someone who agrees to that, or someone who helps Krishna repay, we're actually helping Krishna, we're helping Krishna repay his debt. Then we become not only very dear to Krishna, because if you help me pay my debt, I become very, if you come to me and say, I want to serve you, well, I want to rub your feet and be your das, Krishna das. I say, well, that's nice, okay, will you serve me? You serve me, my Kunta, you rub my feet, you do Lakshmi, you take Lakshmi's place, whatever. But I say, oh, I heard you have a debt, and I can help you pay that debt. I heard you borrowed all these diamonds. I have a bunch of diamonds. I'll give you diamonds. Oh, you can pay my debt? Oh, that's really the thing I want to do. So this is the best way to serve Krishna, is to pay his debt, because that's the thing he can only pay his debt if he collects a bunch of Radharanis and a bunch of gopis, and a bunch of Sakhis and Manjaris, like Radharani and the gopis, to serve Radharani. Because his debt is with Radharani. And she's given him so much service through Manjari, so he has to give her back service. So by serving Radharani, Radhadasyam, automatically we're giving Krishna the greatest service. And this is the thing most people, they don't understand in ISKCON. That this is the highest Krishna consciousness. This is the perfection of Krishna consciousciousness. Because what does Krishna consciousness mean? Be conscious of Krishna. What does bhakti mean? To please someone in a favorable way. Anukulyasya Krishna, Anukulyena Krishna, Anushilam Bhakti Ruchate. What is it? No. Anyabhilashi Dashanyam Gana Karna Karmadya Navritam. Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilam Bhakti Uttama. This is Uttam Bhakti. Pleasing Krishna. And acting in a favorable way to give Krishna happiness. And what's the greatest happiness to Krishna? If he can repay his debt. Like, you may do so many things for me, cook for me, clean for me, make this and do everything. Then I say, oh, you have, yes, I'm very happy. But you know, actually, to tell you, if you want to know the real truth, actually, I've got a problem. I have a big debt. I have to pay this guy on the other side of town $1 million. Can you get some money from me? You did so many things for me. I'm so happy. You cooked, you cleaned, you built a house, you did so many things. So this is Krishna's real problem. This is debt to Radharani. Just like Kubera, like this this Balaji has a debt to Kubera. He borrowed money from Kubera so he could marry Lakshmi. And Kubera said, how are you going to pay me back? He said, well, all my bhaktas are going to come and donate to me, and I'll give that money to you. So now he's down there in Venkata Hills, Balaji, and he's getting all his money from all his bhaktas, and he's giving it to Kubera. Because he took a loan from the treasurer of the demigods. You know this. It's the story of the deity. Have you ever been there, Balaji?
No.
Venkateshwar, famous deity of India, richest deity in India. He's richest because he has the biggest debt. Tirupati, yeah. Tirupati's name of the hills. Tirupatimala. Tirumala Hills. Tirumala Hills, Venkateshwar. It's also called Venkata Mountain. He's the Ishwar of Venkata Hills. Balaji, his basic name is Balaji.
So the...
So now that's the first point. Mm. Now the other point, so this is basically what's in the Gaudiya Vaishnava line. This is really the sum and substance of it, is Radha Dasyam. Now the jiva, the individual jiva, he's such an ananda. So he has a potential to be happy. He has a very minute, it's like atomic, it's just atomic. It's so small that even a little mayic energy can cover it. Is this soul which is brilliant as a sun, but he can be covered by this Maya Shakti. Naham Prakashya Sarvasya Yogamaya Samamrita. This Yogamaya means Mahamaya in the Bhagavatam and Gita. Naham Prakashya Sarvasya. I cannot be known because I'm covered by my Mahamaya. So the jiva is covered by this Mahamaya. He has a minute tendency. Every living entity wants some joy, some happiness. So this is the expression of the Ananda feature. And every living entity wants to know. Everyone wants to have some knowledge. He wants to learn. Even the bird wants to learn how to fly from his mother. A dog wants to learn how to fight from his father. Everyone learns something. Every jiva learns something. He wants to learn. He has the capacity to learn. He wants to be happy. He has the capacity to be happy. The learning capacity is chit. And the loving capacity, happy capacity is anand. And everyone knows they exist. This is one thing everyone knows. We don't really know that we're made of happiness, and we don't really know that we're made of knowledge, because basically we're ignorant. We're stupid, we're ignorant, and we're basically suffering and unhappy. But that's what we have to work on, those two things. We have to work on our ignorance and work on our suffering. Try to become happy and try to become knowledgeable. That we have to work at. But we don't have to work at existing. Do we have to work at existing? Yes or no? No, you exist. Do you exist or not?
Yes.
And you always know you exist. You exist when you're in deep sleep, because you have very deep sleep. There's no dream, nothing. You don't hear anything, see anything, don't remember anything. You wake up and say, oh, I had a very good sleep. I had a very deep sleep. I feel very, very rested. So you are the witness or the observer of that. So that existing you is separate from your sleep. You're remembering that you slept. That's all. That's all you can know. The me and sleep are different. So the existing part is the soul. So that's sat. The sat part is always existing, whether you're existing in ignorance or whether you're existing in suffering. I'm existing in suffering. I'm existing in ignorance. Now I'm existing in knowledge. Now I'm existing in bliss. But existence is constant. So that's sat. But these two features, because they're all... So this feature is constant, whether we're awake or whether we're dreaming. I mean, whether we're awake or whether we're asleep. So that's sat. But the chit and ananda feature are very much out of our grasp. They're easily covered. This knowledge potency and this bliss potency. But that is primeval. So embedded within this anand potency is a particular sthayi bhav. Sthayi means stan, or fixed. Fixed loving mood towards Krishna. That's fixed. Eternally. According to the will of Krishna, how he wants you to love him. He knows that. He knows past, present, and future. So, but that is not known to us. There's different schools of thought about we were with Krishna, we left Krishna, or we were Tatastha Shakti, manifested from Mahavishnu. These are ontological arguments. But we have to understand what is the basic point. And then these are argumental points. It doesn't really matter. Understand the principle. Wherever it is or whatever it is, this is a fact, irregardless of different arguments of with Krishna, not with Krishna, in the spiritual world didn't fall, come from Mahavishnu, we're Tathasta, we're never there, but we can get there and never come back. These are all like debatable points, and there's different views from different schools of thought. But these are the points of Gaudiya Siddhanta, Gaudiya Vedanta, that we should know very clearly, because that's the line of thought we're ascribing to. So whether we were there or not there, we have to be where we are now. And where we are now is we're in ignorance and we're suffering, basically. We all know we exist, that we don't have to work on, we don't have to go to school to learn how to exist. We know how we're existing. But we have to learn everything else. Everything. We have to learn how to make a cup of coffee. You have to learn how to brush your teeth. You have to learn how to put on your clothes, tie your shoes. You have to learn. Everything is acquiring knowledge. But we're made of knowledge, but yet we have to learn, acquire knowledge. This is the paradox. We are made of knowledge, but we have to acquire. We're made of existence, but we don't have to acquire existence. You don't go to school to get existence, do you? Mm-hmm. Do you have to go to school, get a teacher to get existence?
No,
yes or no?
No?
No, you exist. So that's Sat. Sat Chit Ananda. Sat means existence. Eternal. Sat is eternal. You eternally exist. So eternally you have knowledge and eternally you have bliss. Well, where is it? Where is your knowledge? Where is your bliss? Where is it? I'm asking a question. Where is it? It's nowhere. It's nowhere. You don't know where it is. Do you know where it is? You don't know where it is. Where is it? You have to say, I don't know. All I know is I'm miserable and I'm ignorant. And I've been that way since I've appeared in this world. And our whole sojourn in this body after body is to try to get some knowledge to do something somehow. And try to get some happiness to exist somehow without going crazy. Get some happiness in food, get some happiness in sex, get some happiness in mind, get some happiness in heart, whatever. But that's the paradox. What we're trying to get, we already are. We try to get knowledge, we already are knowledge. We're trying to get happiness, we already are happiness. So this is what self-realization is all about, uncovering the self. And the self is knowledge, the self is bliss, and the self is eternal. We've already uncovered that part. We're already one third there. We're 33% self-realized because we exist. We're already there. It's already 30. We already realize the Sat. That's the good news. I exist. I think, therefore I exist. I am. They have all kinds of weird statements, right? I am, therefore I exist. Or I exist, therefore I am. Or I don't know, whatever it is. They figured it out. I can't figure it out. Okay, so, okay, we got, okay, one third down. Two to go. Where's the bliss and where's the knowledge? So therefore you need a teacher. Because he'll teach you how to find within yourself unlimited knowledge and unlimited bliss. But that knowledge, that we have to study to receive that knowledge, because now we're in forgetfulness. It's like the jaundiced man, he has to eat the sugar cane till the jaundice goes and he can taste the sugar. That's why they say Atmaram. You ever heard the term Atmaram?
Yeah.
What does it mean? The bliss is, I'm in my own bliss. I'm bliss. I don't need anybody. Aptakam. Aptakam means I have no desire to fulfill. And Atmaram means my Atma is Ramana. It's blissed out. I'm blissful. I don't get it from college. I don't get it from computers. I don't get it from woman, man, anybody. I get it from me. I get it from God within me. So the jiva has this spark of love, specialized love within his heart. Whether that's Vaikuntha Bhav or Braja Bhav, that's already designated. Now the jiva will wander here and there and here and there, and Krishna is directing the wanderings also, because he knows the software. He's Bill Gates. He made the Microsoft. He knows the software. So he says, hey, you stupid, you're supposed to be in this party, you go there, Congress I. You're BJP, you go there. So he says, he said, oh, okay, Hare Krishna. Well, what's it all about? You know, well, clean the pots. Oh, okay. Cut the vegetables. Oh, okay. Okay, go on, hurry now. Hare Krishna. Okay, wear one red sock and wear one blue sock. That's what it means to be a Hare Krishna. Don't wear matching socks. That's a big mistake. You have to wear one red sock and one blue sock. And wear somebody else's shoes. Wear the other guy's shoes and don't worry about it. And then get in the truck and go down the main street. Hare Krishna, jang, 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 bing, 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 bum, bum, bum. Do that for 3 hours and come back to the temple. So then pretty soon after you go along like that for so many years and hear and chant and study and read, all of a sudden it starts dawning on you, well, wait a minute. I like Krishna like this. And then that's they're uncovering the dawning of the jiva, the atma, the dawning of the sthayi bhava. Like not very long from now. Now it's 4:03. In about an hour, the sky over there is going to start getting lighter and lighter. And say, hey, something. And then what we're going to say is, everyone's going to say, oh, look, something's happening. The stars are getting fainter, the light is getting fainter, and the eastern sky is getting brighter. Something's happening. So it's the same thing with our internal sky, the sky of the heart, heart region. Something will happen. We're chanting, we're studying, we're chanting, we're serving, we're chanting, we're studying. We're getting purified. Saying, wait a minute, something's happening. The darkness is receding. There's some light coming in my heart. I'm seeing something. Oh, what is this? I'm feeling some inclination in some direction. Oh, what is this? Hey, what's going on? Hey, what is this? Oh, this is natural. This is svabhavika. This is a natural thing. This means there's peeping Tom. Your peeping Tom is in action. You're peeping inside your own heart and seeing what's going on. And then you'll find out, you may come under the Gaudiya Sampradaya, and you may come for some time and come to that point and say, wait a minute, I like Ram, or I like Vishnu, and whatever. Because that may be your sthayi bhava. And then you'll make a proper adjustment. Because religion is all about proper adjustment. That's all religion is proper adjustment. Religion means proper adjustment, first with the external environment and then with the internal environment. That's religion. Proper adjustment. Then further refinement. It's like when you get some adjustment, you get finer, you get clarity. So that's what Dharma means. Religion means proper adjustment. First there's Varnashram Dharma, means proper adjustment with the environment. Social environment, bodily environment, family environment. That's Varnashram Dharma. Mm. Then there's Sanatana Dharma. Then it becomes adjustment with God. Then there's Prem Dharma. It means adjustment with your own heart. And that's what Lord Chaitanya came to teach, Prem Dharma. Proper adjustment with your own heart, your own individual heart, which is beyond Varna, beyond Ashram, beyond Sanatana Dharma. It's the Jiva Dharma. It's called Jiva Dharma. Proper adjustment with the Atma. It's very individual. It has nothing. You actually leave the society. You drop out of society. Devarshi putata nirin putrina. You have nothing to do with the devas, rishis, aptas, relatives, anything. You don't care about varna, ashram. Lord Chaitanya, he said all that's external. Age ko, go. He told Ramananda Roy, go higher. He preached ashram dharma. He said, forget it, that's external. Then he said, karmarpanam, offer your results to Krishna. Ah, that's external. Then he said, sarvadharma pritaja. Yeah, that's external. Hey, wait a minute, that's the whole Bhagavad Gita. That's the whole Bhagavad Gita, Varnashram and Karmarpanam, and then Sarvadharma, and then you're saying that's external. He says, yes, Ageko, Bahira. He says, Ageko, go further. Ageko, go further. Agochara, or something. Agochara. Go further. Go higher. Okay, then, you know, Vaikuntha. Oh, then Dasyabhav. Oh, go higher. Then Sakya. Oh, go higher. And finally got the Mandri Bhav, and he got the Prem Vaivart and Radharani's love. Okay, and he put, that's enough, good, fine. That's where the buck stops. Mm. So that's Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Radhadasyam, Raja Bhav.
Yeah.
So the thing is that generally what's told is that how many are under the flag of Gaudiya Vaishnavism? A few. 5, 6. There's 5 billion people floating around this planet.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are involved with Gaudiya Vaishnava, do you even have any idea what the hell it is? There's about 5,000 out of 5 billion. There's 5 billion people. There's maybe 5,000 people that actually have some idea what Gaudiya Vaishnavism is. So you're here because you're supposed to be here.
Yeah.
It's basically like that.
Yeah.
And then you're one of those... Gopi. Basically, what it really boils down to, from what our acharyas say, is that those that are in the Gaudiya Sampradaya are generally either in Gopi Bhav or in Sakya Bhav. Because these are the only lines, these are actually the only lines of parampara lines that you'll find coming from the Panchatattva. Mm. There's no lines of Vatsalya Bhav and Dasya Bhav. Dasya Bhav is everywhere. Like when you have earth, you have all everything there. Flavor, taste, form, sound. Everything is in earth. All five things are there. Taste, flavor, form, sound. But if you only have water, then you don't have form. It's formless. But you have taste and you have sound, and there's no form. No rupam, because water just goes everywhere. So earth has everything. So this Madhuri Bhav has everything. So naturally it has Dasya Bhav in it. But there's lines, there's parampara lines with books and parampara and mantras you can get in the Sakya Ras and in Madhuri Ras. Madhuri Bhav. This is coming in Gaudiya Sampradaya. So you're in Gaudiya Sampradaya. So basically we can narrow it down is that either you're a coward boy or you're a gopi. It's like that. If you're around for some time. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people may be way off into Vatsalya Bhav and really into, but it's a little strange because they won't get much support from that. Other than directly in terms of contemporary parampara line to link into, but it doesn't mean that can't be adjusted and accommodated. Because they may be somehow eternally designated in the Stai Bhav or Vatsalya Bhav. So then, but there's not much need for so many mothers up there, motherly positions. So they would be adjusted through their own meditation. Because through Chaitya Guru in the heart, and through following Mother Yashoda, and meditating deeply and coming Tanmay with them, Mother Yashoda herself can teach them. Mm-hmm. There's no limitation on this plane. The Parishads act as gurus, the Chaitya Guru acts as gurus. That's enough. And your own bhajan and submission. But generally, because of aparads and lack of dedication, without support from parampara, this surup shakti does not descend. The general way surup shakti descends is through parampara. That's why you get fruit. The mantra bears fruit through parampara. Sampradaya vihina me mantras tantras nishpalaham. Says if one is without sampradaya, then his mantra will not bear fruit. And the fruit of the mantra is Sarup Siddhi, to realize the Sarup. That's what the mantra gives. And that mantra has to be mixed with Sarup Shakti. When the mantra is mixed with Sarup Shakti, then it bears fruit. And Sarup Shakti means Bhava Bhakti. As Bhava comes down from the Parishads, generally through Parampara. But the exception is that Bhava can come through Chaitya Guru. That's called Kripa Siddhi. Kripa Siddhi means you get a degree without going to college. Mm. It comes directly from Krishna, directly gives you. Krishna gives you directly. Mother Yashoda gives you directly. That can happen. But that's like one in a 50 zillion. But you can't deny that the reality of such a phenomenon. Mm. It can be there. Because this is unlimited. And it's total. You see, in Nectar Rosh, one can get perfection directly by Krishna's mercy without doing any sadhana even. Without even doing any sadhana. But to speak of you're doing sadhana for Vatsalya Bhav and worshipping Mother Yashoda. Because she's the exemplar of Vatsalya Bhav. She's the guru. Just like the guru of Prema is Radharani. If you want Prema, you have to worship Radharani. Krishna worships Radharani. She's Krishna's guru. Prema guru. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to preach Prema Nam Sankirtan, Prema Dharma.
Since we're in this parampara, it's sort of a
foregone conclusion.
It's like a destiny kind of thing. Somehow or other, we've made it back into this line.
It's a foregone conclusion that somehow we're meant to go to Vrindavan, and somehow we're meant to serve Radha and Krishna as a coward boy or a sucky. Mm. Pretty much, that's the basic
and then
destiny.
Even within them, the Mundri is Mundri Bhav seems more.
It's more available.
More available and more
promoted.
Promoted, yeah.
Everything's adjusted. As I said, religion means proper adjustment. So we adjust and we're adjusted. Mm-hmm. It's like you have a dog. you adjust the dog and the dog adjusts to you. I mean, you have to also adjust yourself to the dog, and then the dog, he adjusts himself to your commands. Hey, sit down when I say sit down. Oh, he learns to sit down. Hey, stand up. Oh, when I give you food, you jump. Okay, jump. He wants me to jump. Okay, jump. So he adjusts himself, but you also have to adjust yourself. So religion means proper adjustment. We have to adjust ourselves to what is our sthayi bhav, and we're also adjusted.
Is it possible for someone who's a practitioner of Gaudiya Vaishnavism to realize one day maybe he's a Ram Bhakt?
Definitely, I already told that an hour ago. We have people that go to Madhva Sampradaya because we know they come to our line. We're Brahma, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. But really, we're, as Narhari Sakkar says in Bhakti Ratnakar, we're Nimai Sampradaya. When the Mahaprabhu's followers would come, they say, here comes the members, here they come, the members of the Nimai Sampradaya. They would just cancel out all this Brahma Madhva stuff. Because Madhva, all the Madhvas go to Vaikuntha. You can only, if you're in Madhva Sampradaya, you can only go to Vaikuntha if you're a sannyasi, first of all. You can only get liberated if you're a sannyasi. And you can only get Saloki liberation in Vaikuntha. Do you know that? If you're a Madhva, there's no Grihastha, Brahmachari, nobody can get liberated unless they take sannyas. First of all, you have to take sannyas, so women are all the women forget it. You're out of it. This is Madhva Sampradaya. So we're somehow connected with that Sampradaya. So what is our connection? We take everybody. We take on everybody. Mahaprabhu liberated everybody. Men, women, children, dogs. He sent dogs to Goloka. And Chaitanya Mangal, he liberated a dog. Lochandas Thakur. Dog was chanting Radha Govinda. You chant Radha Govinda, you go to Radha Govinda in Braj. So the dog is up there, you know, dancing with Brahmaraka or something. He's in Brahmaraka or Vyagra's Sankirtan party. Because, you know, it's
village Sankirtan.
The village Sankirtan. They go through Nandagram. Ow! You go up there, that's Nandagram. This is Radhakund. You think this is a spiritual world? These dogs are spiritual dogs. I told you, that's why I talked about Brahmaraka. These dogs are barking. You say the dogs are barking. They're all doing Sankirtan. But we're so deaf and dumb, we can't hear. They're saying, Radha, Radha, Radha. Yeah. And if you go to Gordham, you go to Mayapur, they're saying, Gor, 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 Gor. They're saying Gor. And here's Rada, 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 Rada. Then that you don't hear any dogs saying Sham, Sham. They never hear. Only Rada, Rada. The dogs, the children, everybody, every leaf is chanting Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. You go to Tadiyastan Sadhus, and you look at the trees, all the trees. It's in the bark. It says Radhe, Radhe. It's written in Hindi. I don't know who wrote it. Rada, Rada. They say the trees wrote it. I don't know, but it's there. You can see. I've seen it with my own eyes. My conjecture, being a mundaner, is that when the tree was 1 foot high, some Tadiyastan Sadhu carved in the trunk, Radhe Radhe, and then as the tree grows 20 feet high, what you wrote down at 1 feet, now it's up there. Because things going to go like that. When the tree is 1 foot high, if you write that, and when it grows up, then it'll be that writing will be 10 feet high. Because now you look in the tree up there, and it says in Hindi, Radhe. So Radharani came and wrote in Hindi? You saw? You ever saw? It's on the Prikamarg, Vrindavan Prikamarg, on the right-hand side. Tadiyastan Sadhus Ashram. Anyway, the whole point is that we accept that everything is special in Vrindavan. Everything is extraordinary. Because if we don't accept that, then we will be extraordinarily distant from Vrindavan. We will find ourselves extraordinarily distant from Vrindavan. Because this is a land of privilege. We're only here as a privilege. We're only here by the mercy of Radharani. And that we should never forget.
Maharaj, you mentioned that most of us in ISKCON, we miss the point about how the highest perfection is, assisting Krishna in repaying his debt to Shri.
No, the highest, forget about Krishna. The highest point, not assisting Krishna, the highest point is Radhadasyam, serving Radharani.
Yeah.
And by serving Radharani, Krishna, that is service to Krishna. Love me, love my dog. Like I may never do anything for the father, but all the time I'm taking care of the son, I'm taking him to the doctor, and I'm feeding him, and I'm getting new clothes, and I give him a ride to school, I pick him up, I take him to sports, and I do everything for the son. I help him, I talk to him, and I don't do nothing for the father. but how much the father will love me. He said, oh, this guy is like a father. He's like a second father to my son. He's taking better care of my son than me. And I'm so busy making money with my job. I'm glad he's there. He's really helping me out a lot. So you understand. That father will like that man or uncle or whoever that guy is so much. So in the same way, I may not do any service at all directly to Krishna. I'm totally absorbed 24 hours a day in serving Radharani. And how much Krishna is going to like me? He's going to like me more than if I served him 24 hours a day.
Why is that we missed that point? Why is that in ISKCON we missed that point?
That you have to ask yourself. I didn't miss it. I'm also in ISKCON. It's there in Prabhupada's books. It's very clear. Prabhupada is saying all the time that his father is praying to every sadhu, please bless my son that he can become a pure devotee of... You ever read Lilamrita?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, no.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you finish the sentence? Every day... Here's the Lilamrita if no one ever read it. Every day, four sadhus, Gaur Mohan Day, who didn't have very much money, he was like maybe middle class, but he knew the perfection of life is to serve saintly people, whoever they are, or whatever kind of saints they are. He would have four sadhus come into his house and give them some food, rice dal chapatis. Four. We don't have in 1 year. We don't have four sadhus come in our house. We're so advanced. We're so rich. We're so rich and sophisticated with our big Honda City cars and big fancy stereos and cell phones. We're so unfortunate. We're so poor. We're so rich, but we're so poor. We're so poor that we can't even get four sadhus to eat in our house in 1 year. Four mayavadis for anybody's. So Gaur Mohan Day was getting mayavadis, everybody's, any kind of vadis. They come in his four every day, come for lunch every single day, 365 days a year, come in his house. And we're so rich, we have so many crores and rupees, we can't get four sadhus to come in our house 1 day in a whole year. You understand what richness is? Richness means punya, piety. Piety means you get sadhusanga. Sadhusanga means you get God. God means you get liberated. So he becomes this poor little guy, this little Bengali, he becomes the richest man because he never takes birth again. With all your crores of rupees and all your lakhs of rupees, you take 1,000 births, 1,000,000 births. So it's a real joke. You're actually very poor. Oh, you're very rich, but actually you're very poor. But at any rate, so they would come every day, and then Gaur Mohan Day would ask him, please bless my son that he becomes a what? Have you read Lilamrita? You didn't read. Anyway, you should read Lilamrita, it's a very good book. He said, please bless my son that he becomes a pure devotee of Srimati Radharani. So, and of course, actually what was actually going on is that Srila Prabhupada was blessing those sadhus that they would become pure devotees of Radharani. Prabhupada was just very quiet. He was a young boy. He didn't want it to go over his father. But he was just smiling. Yes, Dad, yes. Because Prabhupada comes from the inner circle of Manjaris. Prabhupada is also a Manjari. And we also know his name as a Manjari. And this is very clear. There's no doubt in our minds. Very, very, very clear. And this is the point. He was blessing them. But he was just being respectful because the father is always, you know, respected by the son. So Prabhupada was smiling. Prabhupada smiled so sweetly. Yes, Dad. Yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy. And they would touch him on the head. And so when they put their hands on Prabhupada's head, then from Prabhupada's head, they received the blessing that they would become pure devotees of Radharani. And by touching Prabhupada's head, then they got free from their bad karmas. There's no question of ashirvad from them. Prabhupada was giving them ashirvad from his head to their hand. Is reverse ashirvad. I have no doubt about that. That's very clear. And Prabhupada wrote, when he got to America, he writes Marking Bhagavad Dharma, he writes in a prayer, brothers, I declare to you emphatically that if you want to attain any perfection in life, you must attain the mercy of Radharani. He writes this on the first day when he gets to America. He's like, whoa. He got to America and said, wait a minute. Jai Shri Radhe. Oh, Brajadam. Oh, Radhadamadar. Oh, Seva Kunj. Oh, Jiva Goswami. Oh, Bhakti Sanatana. What am I doing here? Anyway, you gave me the name Bhaktivedanta. And if you want me to dance, then make me dance. I mean, I'm supposed to be in Seva Kunj dancing in the Rasa dance. But now I'm in Harlem and Lower East Side and dancing with the muggers and thieves and the bummers and the bums. And so anyway, make me dance, here I go, Hare Krishna. I have full faith in the holy name and full faith in my Gurudev. So what more do I need? So he was a fabulous success, and he's continuing being successful. Radhanath Swami was making an interesting point the other day when he was here. He said that he's moved around here and there in India, and he realized that Prabhupada is preaching more. Prabhupada's preaching is like doubled. He's preaching more now than ever. And that because of Prabhupada, all the other missions in India are practically flourishing in a very direct way. Then he started to cite, one by one, different missions, not only Gaudiya's, but Niyambarki's and Shivananda's, one after another, citing how they're all being directly benefited by Prabhupada because of Prabhupada's disciples are taking part in these various missions and key roles, pushing them on. And ultimately, it means that Prabhupada's behind it all, pushing all these sadhus and gurus forward in their preaching and their missions. It's like amazing. And like he cited the example of Ramesh Baba. Ramesh Baba's in Barsana and Mankutir for 50 years. He's quite up and coming. He doesn't give any diksha. He's a Nimbarki, basically. And then the main money, he's getting huge money now for doing his preaching and developing Braj and everything. It's coming from Radhajivan and Vineet Narayan. And both of them are ISKCON people. Mm. Both of them are initiated by ISKCON gurus. And they're arranging, either directly giving or arranging for big money from British, Indian Oil, etc. You know, big money. Crores, big money. For development and whatever his projects are. And then two of his leading, they're not initiate, whatever, they live with him for 10 years, are people that came to Vrindavan looking for, they were in Delhi, and they weren't happy over there. They came to Vrindavan looking for a guru, and someone told them they should go to Barsana to look at Ramesh Baba. They went there and fell in love with him, and they're in charge of the whole tape ministry. And he's got this most sophisticated computer recording of all his lectures and kirtans. And that 7 lakhs worth of recording equipment was donated by the devotees at Chopati Beach, the disciples of Radhanath Swami, because he's also a good friend of Ramesh Baba. So his disciples gave the money, the 7 lakhs, and his disciples from his temple that know all about which equipment to buy, because Radhanath has all the same equipment, they bought it all and then gave it to those guys, and those two guys that came from Delhi temple, they're doing all the taping. And this Radhajivan bought a satellite for him so that he can watch his productions when he's sitting in Florida. He has his own satellite. Babaka satellite. And Radhajivan bought the satellite so he can watch live performances on his TV in his office. Hmm. He lives there 2 months, and he lives in Alaska 2 months. And 2 months there, then 2 months. And then he went on to Chinmayananda. Chinmayananda Ashram, Chinmayananda Saraswati. Anyway, he's a successor of Shivananda. He's very old. He's about 80 years old. He's from Madras. He's a Brahmin. And every day when he was going to college, he used to stop in that Gaudiya Math temple, and he used to listen to Bhagavatam class. And then one day they were speaking about Shikshastakam, and he liked it so much he memorized it then. And now, you know, he's secretly, although he's a Shivananda, he's secretly a Gaudiya Vaishnava. And he actually reads Prabhupada's books, and he's like a follower of Lord Chaitanya, but he's preaching Shivananda's stolen stuff. You know. And so he's been influenced by Prabhupada. It's unbelievable that Prabhupada is like all-pervading, and he's inspiring all these missions. And what to speak of all these Gaudiya Maths? I mean, forget it. They're all full of Prabhupada's disciples. Bhaktivallabha Tirtha Maharaj and Raya Maharaj and every one of them. I mean, I know, and then you want to go even further than that. Now here we're in the banks of Radhakund. This is all Nityananda Sampradaya and Anantadas Baba's disciples mostly, and and one of the leading disciples of, the leading disciples, he chants his japa every day with Prabhupada's japa tape. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Sit properly. Right. And this is the leading, when he gives lectures, famous disciple. And then he's listening, in English, the Prabhupada's lectures, and he was asked why. I mean, he's like, he knows all the books inside and out and thousands of shlokas. I mean, he's like a walking encyclopedia. And he's here at Radhakund, and he said, I understand and I respect that this A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami is the biggest exponent of Gaudiya Vaishnava the world has ever seen. I'm not listening to his lectures to learn anything. I'm amazed. I just want to hear how did he do it? How did he preach to these people? Because he gives 2 or 3 hour classes practically every day at Radhakund. on this tattva, that tattva, every tattva, and all the old bhavas. He's fantastic. He's like Vishwanath Chakravarti or something. But he's listening to Prabhupada's tapes on the bank of Radhakund, and he gets a regular supply from one devotee from ISKCON. So, I mean, how far and how much Prabhupada is spread throughout. And even it's gone so far as the Natadas Pandit, he said, I think we should organize some morning program here for all the Babaji's like they have at ISKCON. Because they're all getting a little spaced out. All these young Babas are getting a little spaced out. I think we should have a Mangalartik, we should have a regular class every day. And he said, I think ISKCON's doing a good thing. This is direct. Directly from his mouth. So it's almost like ISKCON is setting the pace. If you live out or move out or go into any of these Gaudiya Math temples, and practically every other word out of their mouth is ISKCON this and ISKCON that. they're like Kamsa thinking of Krishna all the time. Kamsa was always thinking, when's Krishna's going to come and kill me? The Gaudiya Math is always meditating on ISKCON. They're all going to take birth in ISKCON their next life. And they're all also doing very good preaching. I'm not trying to belittle them. But what I'm trying to do is glorify Prabhupada and ISKCON. They're also doing very good work, and they have great gurus and great disciples and temples and books and all these things that you should understand. But and they'll go on, and they don't really need us, or we need them maybe more than they need us, for sure. But no matter what they're doing, they can't help but be impenetrated by Prabhupada and ISKCON, because so many of their members have come from ISKCON or have had some connection with ISKCON. And ISKCON books, and Prabhupada himself. Even Bhakti Bhai Bhav Purimaraj, he said in one lecture, he said, actually, all I'm doing in my worldwide preaching is eating the remnants of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Mm-hmm. He's like 96-year-old preacher, Bhakti Bhai Bhav Purimaraj. At least he's honest enough to admit it, you know. Mm-hmm. He said, I'm just eating the remnants. He came and ate a big meal. He left a few scraps, and I came and ate the scraps. His bhaktis, his congregation, his life members. But the positive point is that Prabhupada's preaching is going everywhere. On the banks of Radhakund. I mean, this is the most amazing thing to me, because I'm living here. When I come to find out, and it's a fact, it's not some rumor, it's an absolute fact. The one of the leading preachers may become the next Mahant. He's chanting his Java with Prabhupada's Java tape. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, I don't need to do that. I used to do it sometimes, and I do it still sometimes, but I mean. And then they asked him why. He said, I just like it. I just like it. I like this sound. It sounds so pure and sweet. I like it. It's a new thing. I mean, he's been chanting for years. Our Prabhupada and our ISKCON is being more appreciated outside of ISKCON than in ISKCON. You know, I mean, sometimes people say, oh, Prabhupada, they're trying to make fault, but Prabhupada is perfect. And you don't really know what you have until, like, you know, you think you have, you take your wife or husband for granted, and then all of a sudden they disappear. Then you say, oh, wait a minute, she was pretty good. Or he was pretty good.
The sthayi bhav in our jiva.
Your personal sthayi bhav.
Yeah.
What about it?
He has to inspire us, like.
No, he doesn't have to inspire us. You have to. He's inspiring you at every minute. If you have any enthusiasm for bhakti, if you have any enthusiasm to serve Krishna, that's called prachodayat. Prachodayat means inspiration. You're being inspired. Bhakti Devi. Who is Bhakti Devi? Bhakti is a Devi. Devi means a goddess, and she has energy. Bhakti is shakti. Bhakti is energy. Energy means power, potency, the ability to move, the ability to do things. That's energy. Movement, action, accomplishment. That is done by energy. So bhakti is energy. Bhakti is shakti. Bhakti shakti. Vidya shakti. Bhakti shakti. Palana shakti. Many, many shaktis and potencies. So bhakti is an amsha of Srimati Radharani. And bhakti embodies two principles. Samvit and Ladini. Samvit means knowledge. And bliss, or love. Bliss and knowledge and love. And bhakti has two children. She has two children that travel with her. And one child's name is Gyan, and one child's name is Vairagya. So bhakti, when bhakti comes, then you get Gyan and Vairagya. Bhakti Gyan, you get the knowledge of God, and you get detachment from the material world, and from your material body. And you get samvit, you get knowledge. You get samvit means the awareness of your eternal service to Krishna, your eternal identity, that knowledge you get. And you get bliss. You uncover your eternal loving mood towards Krishna. And you learn to direct that love towards Him and receive His love and experience His love. That's all the influence of Bhakti Devi. So Bhakti Devi makes all these things happen within you. So when you practice bhakti, then bhakti grows and bhakti is pleased. When bhakti is pleased by your actions and your thinking and your feelings, then she reveals herself more and more. And as she reveals herself more and more, then you come to know who you are. So that's why bhakti is expressed in stages, beginning with faith. Faith is an aspect of bhakti. Sarasanga is a blessing of bhakti. And then Vajanakriya. Vajanakriya is the expression of bhakti, development of bhakti. And then as bhakti develops, anartha nivritti is there, destruction of unwanted things, avidya, aparadha, and anartha. And then you become steady in your devotional attempt. And then you develop taste, ruchi, actual taste, and then you become attached, very much attached to Krishna and attached to Bhakti Devi. And then you become, after attachment and bhava comes, then at the level of bhava, then you get your sthayi bhava. Then you realize your sthayi bhava. Then that realization develops more and more. And then it matures into prema. And you realize your sarup. 11 aspects of your spiritual identity are revealed at the level of higher level of bhav. First the sthayi bhav in a general way, then you realize your sarup, and when your sarup is realized, then you can enter into service in your sarup. It's called manasi seva. Manasi seva, astakaliya seva, in your siddhadeha, in your mind. So that starts at bhava bhakti and goes on to prema bhakti, and then it's called Swarup Siddhi. And then you leave this body and take birth in Bhoma Vrindavan, and then Svastu Siddhi. And then you have more training, more association, and more refinement of your bhav, and purification of your bhav. And then you can enter the direct. Then you get a chance for Sakshat Seva, direct service of Radha and Krishna. But first training under Lalita Vishakha and your Guru Varg, Guru Sakhi Varg. And it's an amazing thing. You take birth in Bhoma Vrindavan and you grow up for 12 years, 12 and a half, you grow. You actually, in Bhoma Vrindavan there's birth. So you're born and you grow and you become 12 and a half, 12 and 8 months, 13 like that. That's about, and that'll be your maximum age. And then at that age, after you, when you're 12 and a half or 13, then you get your first chance to serve Radha and Krishna. So you have to go to grammar, you have to go to nursery school, then kindergarten, and then grammar school, then high school.
So Maharaj,
it's all Gopi nursery school, Mundri nursery school, Mundri kindergarten, Mundri grammar school, Mundri high school. And they don't, you hardly even see Krishna and Radha. You see them sometimes, occasionally, from a distance. Mostly you're in school and training and associating. And finally you get called for service. Now come, Sakhi. So it's really an amazing situation. You've worked so hard, so many lifetimes, and finally get Swarup Siddhi, and you're seeing it, maybe having Saksha Darshan on occasion in Sportis, where you're actually seeing it when you're in the earth planet, in this material world, you're actually seeing Radha and Krishna, Sakshat, and Prakat Lila. You're entering a Prakat Lila in your meditation, having Sakshat Darshan, Sakshat Seva. And then, when you actually take birth in Bhoma Vrindavan, in your Swarup Siddhi, which develops into Vastu Siddhi, and then you don't see Radha and Krishna. That's the irony of it. You don't see them for 12 years.
We take birth as a baby then.
No, you take birth as an elephant.
I thought we just get the Swarup immediately.
No. You take birth from a womb of a gopi in Bhoma Vrindavan and grow up just like Radha took birth in Bhoma Vrindavan and grew up and Krishna took birth in Bhoma Vrindavan. Birth is only in Bhoma Vrindavan. There's no birth in the spiritual world for anybody. Krishna, when you leave Bhoma Vrindavan, you just, here I am. You fly in your spaceship. You're in your Mantri Stroop, you're there, and then you just leave, and then you're in Vastu City in the same self-same body. Sometimes it happens like Narada Muni entered the spiritual world in the self-same body. It's in Bhagavatam. So in your Vastu City, you go there. There's no birth there in Uppercut Dham in the spiritual world. You just enter there. Start off, and then you start, and then you're saved. You have, you know, you got it all down. You know where you have to go, and you know where all the, you know where all the pots are and the pans, and you don't have to, you know the kitchen and you know everything. You don't have to figure out where everything is. You know where everyone, you know the topography of Braj. You know all the relatives. You know the boa and the bua and the mama and the chacha and the masi and the, you know everything. It's just like when you grew up in that culture, then you know everybody. You know who's who. But when you're born, you have to learn. Now you know everybody. But when you're first born, you don't know the difference between your masi and your mama and your chacha and your papa. And you don't know, you get all confused. So when you first enter Bhavanam, you don't know who's born in masi, who's this one, that one. You get all messed up. That's why it takes 12 years to figure out who your boa and your bua is. Your boa and your mama and your masi and your kaka and your papa and your chacha. Kutila, and who get confused? Which one's Kutila? Which one's Jatila? And who's Durmad and Avimanyu and Govardhan Mala and Chandravali and Sakshi? This one, that one, and Astamandris, and I guess like, and then people down here, they're trying to figure all that out, and it's like a joke actually. Let's go crazy trying to figure all out. There's some books that give some vague description, like Vraja Vilastava by Raghunath Das Goswami. It just gives you some idea, but it's not that you're supposed to cram all that into your brain like some kind of, you know, examination and memorize all the capitals of the 51 states of America. Or memorize Jai Hind or something. Jai Hind, blah, 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 Jai Hind. You know, and that's what people sit around Radhika and they try to memorize all this stuff. It's like trying to memorize who your boa is and your bua. You know, you have all these 50 different kinds of relatives. And it's not, okay, kid, now here's the list. Now look, you're 5 years old. You got to write down, this guy lives in Agra, he's your boa. This guy lives in Bombay, he's your mama. This lady lives over here in Chandigarh, she's your masi. And the guy goes, oh my God, who's the one in Chandigarh? That's the mama or the papa or the chacha? Or that's the chacha or the kaka or the pupa or the tipa or the gingi or the juji or the jiju or the jaji or the kagi or the bubi? They have like 70 different names for everything, right? There's a Jiju. There's a glorious Jew called a Jiju. Like Maharaji, and there's a Jiju. A Jew that's like Maharaj, he's a Ji. Maharaji or Swamiji is a Jiju. But when you're 20, when you grow up, when you're born there and you grow up, then you got it all down. By the time you're 20, you know these 75 jerky relatives. You know the name of all these jerks, and you know where all these jerks live. And even more of that, you know this. You know the Jiju's sons and daughters, and the Jiju's sons and daughters. Yeah, it's like unbelievable. So just as that is so absurd, if you sit down you're 5 years old, now look, you learn all this stuff. So you come here to Radhika and they sit you down, it's okay, this is your uncle, this is your father, this is your mother, this is your grandmother, this is the 16 different guys and 27 different sakis and 18 different submandris and 27 upamandris and 27 this. And, oh my God, I'm not going crazy, Hare Krishna, Krishna, upamandris, something. It's like really, like, I don't know where they come at, you know, it's like really strange. Because as soon as you take, that's why you take birth in Bhavan Vrindavan. It's all explained by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and others. You take birth there, and it's natural. You grow up there, you grow into the place, you grow into the village, you're born in Barsana, you grow up in Barsana, you learn your Jiju, Jaju, this one, that one. And then you go over to Yavat and you get married. And every mantri gets married. You get a husband and a chacha and a bapa and all this stuff. And you go, and a boo and a boa, and you get all that. And then you figure out, you figure out who they all are. And by the time you're 12 and a half, 13, ready to do your service to Radha and Krishna, then you go meet them, and Radharani says, who's your bua? Or boa? Whatever it is. And you say, and who's your chacha? Who's your mama? Yeah, you ask for introduction, like anything. So then you can tell Radharani. But when you're here sitting in Radhika, and if Radharani comes and gives you Saksha Darshan, you say, okay, who's your bua? I get all confused, Radharani. I got this big long list here. I can't figure it out. I mean, because I've been a little bit involved with what's going on over here, and I started to realize this is like ridiculous. You know, whatever you're supposed to know, you know it. Like, oh, you know all these things. You're an Indian, you know all these 70. I come here, it's like the most befuddling thing I can try to figure out. Oh, who's Bua? Oh, Bua is your cousin, your second cousin's brother's nephew's uncle. That's called Bua. Acha. Okay, well, that's good. Now, no, this is your 17th uncle's brother's son's nephew's cousin's grandmother's uncle. And that's called Kiku. You know? It's like,
and
oh,
they're
my.
Married to the.
Yeah, and that one's married to this other one's uncle's brother's son's nephew's grandson. And he's called Jiju. And there's a name for that. You know, not only do they know how it all dries down, it all, you know, descends, and then they got a name for it to top it all off. In America, you have your mother, your father, your grandmother, your grandfather, and your uncle and your aunt. Boss. That's it. There's six. There's five names, there's not a different name for your father's mother. There's this grandmother, and that there's two grandmothers and two grandfathers, and this uncle and that uncle. That's it. This is my mother's brother. He's uncle. This is my father's brother. He's uncle. This is my mother's father. His grandfather. But you got, well, the mother's grandfather is called a cuckoo, and the father's grandmother is called a kiki. You know, it's like, it's so confusing. I mean, keep it simple, stupid, you know, that's what they say. It's called, in business, the KISS principle. You know, you don't know this, it's American stuff. The KISS principle business means keep it simple, stupid. KISS, KISS. And I don't mean your wife, and to kiss your wife. KISS, KISS, keep it simple, stupid. So this is America, they like keep it simple, stupid. We have grandfather, grandmother, uncle and aunt, right? And cousin, boss. That's it. And you got like 80, you got 80, 100 different terms. Then subterms and subterms of subterms. And you know it all. That's the thing. I meet this guy, this 10-year-old son of Gita, and he can tell me all this stuff. He can tell me these 90 different classifications of hell. Well, this is my Bua, and then Bua, this is it. And it's, if that's how it, that's exactly how it is when you take birth in Boma Vrindavan. It's very clear to me. That's why I don't agitate my mind with this. And there's 20, this yoga pit, and there's 27 Upamundris and 37 Mundris, and between this one and that one, there's that, and there's 8 Sakis of hers, and she has 8 sub-Sakis, and there's 64 Sakis. You know, Radharani has 8 Sakis, and Lalita is one of them. Lalita has 8 Sakis, and each of those Sakis has 8 Sakis, and each of those has 8 Mundris, and there's names for all of them. By the time you're done, you're like head spinning off. And you're supposed to know all those and meditate on all those. Why? What doesn't make sense? I'm supposed to know, try to chant 3 lakhs a day. That's what I should try to chant. I should try to work on chanting 1 and 2 lakhs a day and doing Vaishnava Seva and read Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavad. I'll figure all that when I get there. Right? If I'm born in India, I would, by the time I'm 10, I know this stuff too. Bo, bo, and all that stuff. So I'm also going to take, what's the difference between India and taking birth in Boma Vrindavan? Krishna was here at Boma Vrindavan, when he was here, this is it. When he was born here at Boma Vrindavan, there was also Agra here, there was Mathura here, Delhi, all this stuff was here. So when I go to Boma Vrindavan, in the earth planet, it's all going to be there. Agra is going to be there, Aldigar is going to be there. It's the same thing, only Radha and Krishna are going to be in Sakshat, they're going to be Prakat, I'm going to see them. So I'm going to learn about my husband, I'm going to get my husband's name, my wife's name, my mother's name, my brother's name, and all that I'm going to get. And they all have spiritual bodies, and that's that. Bus finished. Why I break my brain now? There's only 3 things I have to know. I have to know Hare, Krishna, and Ram. That's it. I only have to know these 3 words. I have to know them perfectly and chant them purely. Then I get everything. I get the whole package, right? Like the servant knocks on the door. Hello, Master, I want to serve you. Oh, okay, what do you want? What will you do? I'll do anything and everything. Okay, well, if you're going to serve me, then I have to give you a room. Okay, give me a room. And if you're going to serve me, I have to give you clothes. Okay, give me clothes. And if you're going to serve me, I have to give you food. Okay, give me food. And if I'm going to serve, what about, well, you have a wife? Yeah, I have a wife and kids. Well, where are they? Well, they're outside and outside the wall. Well, what are they going to do? Stay out there? No. Okay, bring them in. Okay. So, if you just knock on my door and offer me 100% service, I do everything for you. And if you get sick, if my servant gets sick, okay, you go and die. No, here's medicine. You go to the hospital, you become a family member. In India, a servant is a family member. So if I become a servant of Krishna, he's going to do less than that? He's going to give me every single thing I need. He's going to give me a boa and a jiju and a, and a masi and a mama and a chacha and a papa and a mama and a upapati and all everything I need. A pati and a upapati. So I have to, all I have to do, what I have to work on is getting to the door. I had to work on finding out who is the master, finding out everything about the master, finding out where is his house, and how can I get to his front door. And I have to learn how to knock on the door. Hello. Hello, Narayan? This is Narada Muni. Hey. Hello. What is it? Kahan Sayai? What is it? That song they had in Braj used to be a popular song. Kahamalenge. Kahamalenge. Dun, 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 Kahamalenge. There's this song in Braj. It was a takeoff from some movie song. And this Narada Muni is calling up people. And you hear old-fashioned telephone. It was a takeoff from a Bombay movie song. It was like a all-hit song for 2 years. And you hear it. And then goes, hello? And then you say, hello? And then you don't hear Vishnu. And they said, yeah, Vishnu, Narayan, this is Narada Muni. Ha, Haji, how are you? Ha, Kahamalenge. Kahamalenge. Kahamalenge means where are we going to meet or something?
Where will we meet?
Kahamalenge.
Kahamalenge. And that's it. That's the motto, what do you call it? The refrain of the song. Ding 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 ding, pum 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 pum. Kahamalenge, kahamalenge. And all the Indians go crazy. Oh, it's great. It's the number one song for the UP wallet. UP, Haryana, Rajasthan. They bought like 50 million copies of it. The most goofy single song. Then it goes again. Hello, Radharani? Huh. This is Sham. Achan. CK. Kahamalenge. You know, Sham gives a telephone call to Radharani. And, so this is the thing, you know, that our only petition is Kahamalenge. Oh, Radharani, when will I meet you? I will knock on your door. The Bhaktivinoda has so many songs. When will I knock on your door? When will you accept me as your slave? And then I don't have to worry about what's my name. And there's the guy, the servant comes to the door and says, Master, you know, I want to serve you. And he says, what's your name? He says, you know, I have a name, but, you know, whatever you want to call me, you call me. That's like I've got a servant. He has a name. I gave him the name Haridas. I want to call you Haridas. I don't want to call you a stupid name. I want to give you a spiritual name. All day long, I got to yell Haridas. And I'm like Ajamil, you know. So when I die, I don't want to die calling some stupid karmi name. I want to say Haridas. You know, so that's a good thing, Haridas. I say Haridas, and in my mind, I say Thakur. Because he's an Amacharya. And practically, this guy's an Amacharya too, because he's always chanting the holy name. my Chokidari, all 20, every time he's this Hare Krishna, mostly Radhe Radhe, he chants all the time. So he's like Haridas. So that's it. You know, I knock on the door, and then I say, and Krishna says, "Well, what's your name?" I say, "Well, you know, I had this name. I was called Manini Dasma." Oh, that's a stupid name. I mean, that's a good name, but probably give you a name, but I want to give you a Manjari name. I'm going to call you so-and-so Manjari. So, okay, cool, man, whatever you want to call me. Like W.C. Fields used to say, you can call me anything, but don't call me late for dinner. Dinner means prasad. Like, you call me anything. Like, you stupid jerk. Hey, but when it's 6 o'clock and you're serving hours, hey, come take prasad. Okay, don't call me late for prasad. Call me on time. So Krishna, you know, you can call me anything, but just accept me, Krishna. Accept me as your own. I am yours, I am yours, I am yours. Tavevasmi, tavevasmi, na jivami tvaya vina, iti vigaya radhe tvam, nayamam charanatikam. Please, O Radharani, please understand this, that tavevasmi, tavevasmi, I am yours. Ami tava, I am yours. I am yours, I am yours. Na jivami tvaya vina, bina tvam, without you, bina tvam, na jivami. I have no life. Na jivami vina tvaya vina. I cannot live without you. How can I live without you? Without your nam, Radha nam. Without your seva, without your holy dham of Radhakun. Without your darshan. Without your devotees. Without your lila. How can I live? I can't live. I'll die.